What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Daily Bible Reading Snapshot. Today, we're looking at Ezekiel 45 and 46 here in the Old Testament. And what you're going to see is the different land allotments that are going to take place in this future kingdom. Remember, in the Old Kingdom, we had different tribes of Israel that had different land allotments. They were supposed to pass it on to their children. They're supposed to work the land. They're supposed to keep the inheritance and then pass on the inheritance. Now, we have a new land allotment because we've got a new kingdom. Which again, remember, what are we talking about here? Like, is this when they return from exile? Well, when they return from exile, sure, but like, I think this is still talking about something future because we didn't see this fulfilled the way it's being described, which again, you have to look at this, and if you say it's not being fulfilled the way it's described, you have to spiritualize it unless you want to take it at face value. You have to say, well, he's not really talking about a land allotment. He's talking clearly just about how, you know, God is going to fill the earth, right? Okay, God is going to fill the earth. Absolutely. The gospel is going to go forth, but I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I think he's talking about something more than that. Chapter 46, in chapter 45, we see a figure that's a confusing figure to figure out. His name is the prince. He's the ruler, which remember, in the book of Ezekiel, what did prince mean? Every time you saw prince, what is it talking about? It's talking about some human king. So I think what we're dealing with is not God. I don't think we're dealing even with Jesus here. Probably dealing with some other figure that's going to be a leader in this kingdom. Sometimes people say, oh, David, right? Because, you know, sometimes we see David being talked about as the one who's going to shepherd his people, right? Maybe. We don't know for sure. But we got some person who's going to be involved in the worship. Not that he's receiving worship. He's the one giving the worship here. So it says the prince is going to have this plot of land, which I want you to remember. Again, the Bible is not a picture book, right? There's no pictures here, right? So, but what is being described here is a picture, which is why if you can find a study Bible or you can look up, what am I looking at in Ezekiel 45 and 46? That would be really helpful for you to visually see it because it will make so much more sense to you if you see it, especially if you're someone like me who's like, I love maps and I love pictures. If you like that, well, then you're going to like looking up some pictures of what's being described here. But the point is God is making a space for there to be worship in this kingdom. God's making a place for them to live, which again is the whole point of what it means to be a kingdom. That means you have a king, you have a people, and you have a land. Without the land, that's a hard thing, which is why that's what's being described here. Which again, when you think about the kingdom of God, they were just kicked out of their land. They were the kingdom of God, right? These Judeans, they were worshiping God. They had his temple, his presence, all those things, but then sin entered the picture. We need to see what does a kingdom look like where there's no sin involved, where you've got God reigning as the king, you've got a human representative as king too, and you have a land. They live back in this land. And that's what you're going to see. Which again, it's a lot of explanation, all just to say this, that these are the plans. These are the architectural future plans of this kingdom. Now, we're going to see even more about that tomorrow. But today we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, finishing this little short book. And remember, we've talked so much about false teaching because that's one of the main features of the book of 2 Peter. Peter is going after people who are false teachers. He's describing how evil they are. And what he says is, this is my second letter that I'm writing to you. And I want you to be reminded to keep going back to the scriptures. Don't listen to these false teachers. Go back to the scriptures. And that's a helpful thing that I want you to remember. Right? When you're hearing false teaching all over the place today, which it's all over the place, when you hear false teaching, what should you do? Go back to the scriptures. That's Peter's advice too. And he says a lot of people who are false teaching, the false teaching that he was facing was they said, Jesus is never coming back. Look how long it's been. And if you think about Peter's day, Jesus promised to come back when? Well, he promised to come back when he left, when he ascended to the Father. Well, that was about, you know, 30, 33 AD. I mean, this is maybe, I don't know, 65, 66 AD. So it's only been like 35 years. So that seems like a long time to them. But it says that a lot of people are looking at this saying, God's never going to keep his promises. And in fact, I think one of the promises that people doubted, it's so interesting we just read about it, was that future kingdom. People doubted. They said, is God really going to establish this kingdom? Is God really going to build a temple that's that big? Is God really going to use all the land that's in Israel and Lebanon and Jordan? And is he really going to give that back to the Israelites? Because Ezekiel says he is, but I don't really know about that. People were doubting God's word. And look what he says. He says, these people deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water, through water, by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world existed, was deluged, was flooded. Right, just remember, God kept his promise to flood the world. in the time of the flood, in the time of Noah, how many people thought, yeah, I think God's going to flood the world? Only one man, and as much as he could believe God, right? Is God really going to flood the world? Well, Noah believed it, and when he believed it, he built this ark, and God saved 8 people through that flood, and he destroyed the rest of mankind. And what he says here is, God's going to do the same thing to this world. God is going to flood the world, so to speak, not with water, but with fire, it says. He's going to destroy this world, and he's going to remake it and rebuild it and reshape it, and it's going to be brand new and perfect. When? Well, I think in that kingdom that we just talked about in the book of Ezekiel. Then he says, don't overlook this one fact, my beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Right? His reckoning of time is different. He's outside of time, so he doesn't experience it the same way we do. So he says, don't forget this, that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. Some people say it's been forever since God promised this, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That is why this destruction has not happened. That's why the battle of Gog and Magog hasn't happened yet. That's why the things that are described in the book of Ezekiel that we've just been reading, why haven't they happened yet? Because God is patient. He wants you to repent. That's why this is taking a long time. Then he says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It's going to come. It's going to be fast. And it says everything is going to be destroyed and burned up and dissolved, and all the works on earth are going to be exposed. And then a very important verse here in verse 11, the thing I want to stick with you today when you think about this. He says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, every job, every position, everything that happens on earth, all the stuff that you want, the houses, the land, the government, everything that is so impressive and powerful right now, it will all be dissolved. Now, what does he say? What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening, saying, God, come quickly, hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. I think we're talking about stars and planets and like the whole universe, not just this little, earth. We're not just talking about, global warming. We're talking about the whole universe is going to be wrapped up and destroyed when God makes it happen. And he says, according to the promises, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That is exactly the hope of the book of Ezekiel. That's exactly the same thing. We are looking and waiting for exactly what Ezekiel was waiting for, that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell, when people will live in righteousness, where I've said this before, but there's no locks, there's no passwords on your devices. You don't need any of that because no one's out to get you. It's all going to be perfect and good, and people are going to live righteously with one another. And he says here, what sort of people ought you to be? That's important for us to remember. What people should we be in lives of holiness and godliness? We certainly should be living for Christ every single day, waiting for him to come back. So set your hope on that today. And remember, let's live holy and godly lives today, because Jesus is coming back very, very soon, like a thief in the night. So thanks for reading. We'll see you back tomorrow for another Daily Bible Reading Snapshot.